everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. We've got Maury alongside. We'll take you to 3 o'clock. Hand it off to our buddy, Bill Venati's fine show. Behind the bench, we'll take you to 6, and I'll tell you about the schedule a little bit later on, as our good friend Ed Dunko will allow me the time to tell you all about his great business, Precision Civil Engineering Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Jackson with me on a Tuesday, as always. It'll be a lot about football, a little bit about basketball last night at SMC. We'll get to Jackson momentarily, but first, as always, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. First, remind you about our good friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Great supporters of athletics throughout the valley, and right now they have the throwback to the late 90s with everything covered in the great honey barbecue flavor. That would be the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. The 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals all on sale right now at the local KFCs. And again, remind you that on Tuesdays, like today, you still have the long-standing $10 8-piece or 8 tenders offer. And on Wednesdays, you still have the country fried steak for $5.99. So terrific deals, headed up right now by the original honey barbecue flavor, sweet, savory, and back in the game for the months of October and November. And if you have a chance to stop in, please do so. Chicken sandwiches are just $3.99. It's a great deal right now. And so stop in at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and tell them thanks for being part of the solution across the valley to support athletics at all levels. We appreciate their sponsorship a great deal. The other reminders here, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing want to tell you about the weather, or they want me to tell you about the weather, or we can call them on the Lee's Air hotline if you'd like at 559-320-1430 and see if they would come up to talk about the weather. I'll do it for them. How about that? Again, more information on the web at leesair.com, or you can call them for anything you need in regard to service at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES. Forecast looks very good. There is a chance of rain tomorrow, mainly in the North Valley. I know the Bay Area is going to be hit with rain and high winds tomorrow, and maybe a quarter to possibly a half inch. That might be optimistic in the North Valley. For us, metro area, maybe a tenth of an inch. I don't know that we're going to get there or not, but the forecast after the 77 today falls to 67 tomorrow with that chance of rain. And then partly sunny on Thursday, 70, 71 Friday, 72 Saturday. And then we finish off the week 77 on Sunday, 75 on Monday. The lows are in the mid-50s. Good forecast. Again, it would be nice to get some rain. I don't know if it's going to be El Nino or La Nina. The difference is El Nino means a lot of rain. La Nina means we may be looking at drought conditions by the spring. We've been through that enough, so hopefully we're going to see more rain. And as always, particularly in the outlying areas right now, even with the lows in the 50s, be careful about the fog. Anyway, a good forecast in regard to creature comfort, and thanks to everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. And as I mentioned, the Lee's Air hotline, that's how we bring guests up like Jackson Moore, and how Phil brings guests and callers from the general public. Mark it down, 559-320-1430. The other reminder comes courtesy of Joe Cruz and his outstanding business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating its 25th anniversary in town, 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103. Give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or more information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. We remind you every day, if you're someone working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, tanker delivery service, you're working around a boiler, anything where there's a valve involved, if it goes down, your business can come crashing down in a big hurry. Joe not only has great components, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, has same-day estimates, same-day service, and a family-friendly business. You can stop on in, tell them exactly what is going on with your business. He'll analyze the situation and put you on the path to get you right back up and running. If it's been catastrophic, in a big hurry, you'll be back up and running. If it's just a hit right now, he'll make sure it doesn't become a major issue. Stop on in and see him or give him a call. Also, as he's been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades, if you have a minute when he's done analyzing your situation, he'll tell you what he has done for Fresno State and what you can do in regard to donation. And one more time, the best way, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. Click on the donate link. You can't miss it. It's right at the top. It'll take you different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there. The major giving societies are also there. That means the Green V Society and the Myers Champion Circle. And then under ways to give, you have the delineation of methods of support. You have Valley Co-op, which is critically important. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to the team you designate. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick will be with me tomorrow. He's in the board of directors of the timeout club. Love to see more members. He said you can call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. Also, you have links to other men's and women's sports, for instance, dugout club there for the baseball team, everything under sports clubs. And then the other link, which is the link that has just the single word more, click on that. It'll tell you about tickets and parking on campus and other events as well. Everything is there. One-stop shopping at GoBulldogs.com. And we thank Joe Cruz and everybody at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. So thanks to Joe. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They have been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. And then thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, we turn to our de facto co-host, the king of all these surveys media-wise. It is Sir Jackson Moore, MrBarkBoard.com. That's what he would like to go by, Bark Boy, but they took his title for that commercial where the employer has to put up with his employee barking at her. Jackson does that all the time at Fresno State. He goes up and down press row and barks at people. So, Bark Boy, how's it going?
You know, Tony, when I was first starting, I believe Pat Hill referred to me one day as a barkboard guy. And whenever I hear that commercial, it makes me think someone's trying to get my attention.
Two things about Pat and the Internet. One was when Pat told me that he was reading the dartboard, that turned out to be the barkboard. But the most frightening intonation I ever got from Pat was when he called me up one day and he said, "Hey, Tone, I've got my own website." This is what he said to me. This is early on in the Internet world, okay? And my mind was fairly swimming with the possibilities of a Pat Hill website. As it turned out, what he meant was he had an email address for the first time, okay? So, close. But anyway, I did not realize at one time you actually were Bark Boy, which, you know, it was not a bad title for you, but they did steal it, right? And by the way, that is a great commercial. You got to, if it weren't for Unbecoming Your Parents for Progressive Insurance, that would be the greatest campaign out there ever, the Bark Boy campaign, particularly at the end of the commercial, which you only see about 500 times every sports broadcast, right? All right, that having been said, you are, again, fresh back from Boise, Idaho, where I know the natives are just a tad restless in the orange and blue. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it was for a team that had won 16 games in a row. It didn't take but about two or three bad quarters for them to turn on their own team pretty quick. It felt a lot like being at Valley Children's Stadium the week before, the way things went against San Diego State for the Bulldogs. And now with the basketball team really letting one drop last night, it was an unusual string of days for that program that hasn't had too many tough times as of late.
Yeah, losing to Hawaii Pacific last night, at home no less. There were a lot of stunned faces there. And I guess that kind of thing can happen during you know, the non-conference year, but it's not supposed to happen against non-FBS competition, however you want to name it, right? And that's what happens when maybe you don't take it seriously enough. Hey, look, the Lakers last night had their three best players out, and Portland managed to lose a game. So if you're taking things for granted, you never know. Now, Fresno State did not take things for granted with Fresno Pacific last night, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I did want to ask you about Saturday past in Boise. Obviously, as Paul and I talked yesterday, Jackson, that nobody in the Fresno State end is naive enough to think that the loss of Madsen wasn't a huge impact for Boise State. But the way the Bulldogs played that game, for a couple of lines, both offensive and defensive lines, that were supposed to be inferior, the Bulldog lines played a terrific game. I know this is an impossible question to answer. That's why I'll ask it instead of trying to answer it myself. But the way that game went, would Madsen have made enough of a difference for Boise to win, or do you believe that Fresno State was just destined to win the way they played and the way the rest of the Broncos played on Saturday past?
It certainly would have made it more difficult. On one hand, it did feel destined in a lot of ways. Even when he was out there for three drives. They had,
right.
He had negative 10 yards total when he left the game. He had a pass that went backwards, and he got sacked. And the reason that he left the game was because they let Corey Foreman get into the backfield and get to that lower leg of his. And they had five penalties for 45 yards. There was a lot going wrong. And on the very first drive, I think that's what stands out to me most about this game. I think if they complete that third down pass, who knows how far that ball gets down the field. Maybe they score right off the bat, and the Bulldogs are playing from behind, and everything unravels the same way it did the last couple of games. So I think there was just a bit of a funk around that Boise State team for whatever reason that day. And I think just defensive. Well, the other thing you have to factor in, too, is that the Bulldogs did not have Dejon Lafitte, and this is not a deep team at defensive tackle. So it could have been a scenario where them actually running the ball more could have been more detrimental to the Bulldogs, because you don't have Lafitte, you don't have Kavion Thunderbird, and that's a Boise State team that runs the ball really well. So there was a stage where I could have seen maybe the Bulldogs wearing down a bit on the interior and letting the Broncos run loose, and that never happened either. So it was a very impressive day from the defense. Having Madsen healthy would have allowed them to have more balance and open up the playbook more, but the Bulldogs were just really taking care of business and the little things, and I think that would have trumped a healthy Madsen.
I'm glad you brought up the start of the game, because Bates had what might have been a touchdown, Jackson. That ball was right in the numbers, and it looked to me, and he can fly, it looked to me like he had a clear path and flat dropped it, and that became the portent of things to come. I mean, that's how Boise State played all four quarters, basically, and it reminded me a lot of the 2022 title game, where by the fourth quarter, the Boise State fans were sitting on their hands, right? That's what happened with the 22 title game. This one, of course, not quite of that import. But when you look at the rest of the schedule, and we were talking about it yesterday, if the Bulldogs can run the table, and that means winning at home against Wyoming and Utah State, those are reasonable asks. And then it may very well be that game on the 29th at San Jose is not only for the Bulldogs season as far as making the conference title game, it might be the Spartans also, though they have a more difficult schedule. But without question, Jackson, if people are looking for Boise State, if the Bulldogs sweep the last three, to lose again, I think it's a given that the Broncos are going to lose at least once, and that's at San Diego on the 15th, if not more. I do not see Boise State being a factor. I assume Madsen is not coming back. Looking at the quarterbacking there, can you believe the Broncos at all can be a factor in this race the rest of the way?
No, I don't think so, at least the way they looked against Fresno State. Now, some of the defenses in this conference aren't as good as the Bulldogs. Maybe they'll be more successful, and
right.
Maybe they'll get that running game going. Again, they seem like an offense that even with decreased quarterback play should be rather effective running the ball, but they certainly weren't against the Bulldog defense. But I think the big one is that how do you expect that offense, the way they looked against Fresno State, to be any better against San Diego State? And if they just lose one, then you're guaranteed to have at least a two-loss team in the conference championship game, and that could very well be Fresno State. And with that Boise State win, you pretty much, as long as the Broncos lose, control your destiny, because it will take a big multi-team tiebreaker for that Bronco win to not become a factor. Because if you're tied with a New Mexico team you didn't play or a UNLV team you didn't play, well, they both lost to Boise State. You're going to get the tiebreaker there. You've got the tiebreaker against Hawaii, and then you can take Utah State out and San Jose State out along the rest of the way. And, of course, you'd be Boise State. So it lines up very well for Fresno State, unless it's a real stroke of bad luck with the tiebreakers somehow comes their way.
Well, you and I were talking off air before the show started that the ultimate irony may be that the Bulldogs want the Broncos to lose once, but only once, because you want them to be the quality win. You do not want them, as much as it would be fun to watch it, right? You don't want them falling off rails right now and going in the tank at the end, and then suddenly that win is not the quality win you need, because as you're referencing with New Mexico, who has been a surprise, and UNLV, who you don't play as well, it may very well come down to a flat-footed tie and then the biggest quality win, and that would be the highest win of the rest of the standings, and that would certainly be Boise State, assuming that nobody else is going to beat San Diego State. We'll see about what happens there. If, and this is, boy, the ultimate cart before the horse, Jackson, if Fresno State ends up the first week of December at Snapdragon playing the Aztecs for the conference title, and I'm, the proviso of what I'm about to say is I understand completely there was a huge difference between 2017 when Teddy came in for the first go-round as coach, when the Bulldogs were coming off a back-to-back, the worst two seasons in their history, as compared to what happened last year here, where, as we mentioned, yes, you were 6-7, but you easily could have had 10 wins. You had four games where there was one play. If they went your way, you would have won them. So I'm not saying that the whole wagon was broken coming out of last year, but the comparison that 2017 being able to make it to the conference title game told people Fresno State football was back, even though they did not win that game the next year. Of course, they went to Boise, and since then, the Broncos have not been that Goliath. The Bulldogs have actually beaten them more times. They've lost to them since 2018. But the comparison of getting the program back on its feet, if Fresno State is able to just get to San Diego in Matt Entz's first year, whether they win the conference title or not, do you say that they have put the program back where it belongs? I'm just wondering.
Sure, I would say so relative to the situation. Fresno State, I think over-unders were around 6.5 or maybe 7 coming into this year. So if they could win out and get to the conference championship game, they'd be a 9-3 team even before playing for that championship game and a bowl ahead of them. So I think by most expectations that would have exceeded. Coach Entz says, met a lot of marks over the course of the year that few first-year Fresno State head coaches have reached. So, and last year's team, about 500, and lost a lot of pieces. This felt like things could have gone a lot of different ways over the course of the offseason. It's not exactly like they hauled in some of the transfers that they had gotten in past years. It's quite a bit more difficult now. So it's been a bit of a grind, and they've put together a product, I think, that's embraced that. It's a lot more in the trenches, and it's a lot less flashy, and it's been very effective at times. And, of course, we've seen some games where they just weren't very much in it at all in the three losses. So it does, I think, give you just a little bit of air caution on these last three games. I would say after beating Boise, Bulldogs are probably favored in each of those three, but not by a lot. And you can see even Boise State's capable of playing a game like that on a given Saturday in this Mountain West. So it's a season that's swung back and forth quite a bit, and it's going to be a very difficult challenge to put together three more W's and get there. Maybe even that three losses, there's a lot of teams with two losses, and I don't think many of them are winning out. So it might not be too far out of the race, even if they drop one, but I certainly wouldn't count on it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it is a three-loss tiebreaker, that's going to be a bigger mess than you could possibly imagine. I mean, as you were referencing, a two-loss tiebreak is pretty clear in Fresno State's favor. You get the three, and you need an abacus to figure out what's going on, I think. I'm not so sure we're ever going to figure out who is where. It's not going to be as simple as we were talking yesterday in 2014 because you were in divisional play then. And so you just were trying to get to 5-3 and hoping that Boise State would beat San Diego State, which they did. This would be much more complicated. And again, I understand, talked about it last year, San Jose State got the short end of the stick last year. You're trying to get your two best teams in there, but it does get very, very complicated. That having been said, the Al Davis just win baby is applicable. I mean, all Fresno State can do is go out and defend home field. And after the great work, particularly defensively, you did at Boise, if you let either Wyoming or Utah State get away, that would be an absolute travesty. It may very well come down to that game against the Spartans. We'll see. Going back to what happened Saturday, Jackson, we figured the defense from the time of the Colorado State game, which was not a great effort, would show, and they have come back now. They were really good against San Diego State. That was a two-possession, 16-0, but just two-possession game, two TDs and two extra points, two-point conversions away. The offense did not show any signs of life, however, but it wasn't the defense's fault. So now another solid four quarters. So do you say this defense is back to where it was before now?
Yeah, I would say so. They've been excellent these last eight quarters of football. They've only given up two touchdowns, a couple of field goals against San Diego State that were on some bad field position turnover situations. And I think it's you could say they're even better than they were earlier this season because I looked at Boise State and San Diego State. They look like more complete teams, a little more balanced offenses that could attack you in a variety of different ways that would be more difficult to deal with than IE and Nevada were earlier this year, and the Bulldogs have been even better. So the defense has been very impressive. Now, San Diego State didn't have to score a lot. They were able to sit on the ball, and Boise State's quarterback went down, so you had to take that into effect a bit. But I mean, outside of that first half against Colorado State, about the first 20 minutes and the last 10 minutes of Colorado State, this defense has been excellent in Mountain West play. So you've got that working for you. If you run the ball and you do that and you play good special teams, you're going to have a chance to win most of these games. And you know, we'll see if the passing game comes along. It's hard to imagine them winning much more at 35 yards of passing in any of these next three games. But if they do play lockdown defense like that and can run the ball as well as they did, they won't have to do much through the air.
Well, there's no doubt if they're going to win a conference title, something's got to give with the passing game. The good news is you didn't turn the ball over. The bad news is, like you said, 35 yards, and we know this. And again, it's not to ignore the import of these upcoming three games, because if you lose one of them, despite the mathematical chance, it's a great likelihood if you get a third conference loss, you're probably not going to survive it. Let's say for the sake of argument, the Bulldogs do run the table. If they go back to Snapdragon with the same offensive woes throwing the football, you and I both know they're not going to be able to run it, because San Diego State is not going to let you run it just with their base defense, never mind what they can do, stuff in the box even more. So something's got to give here. One can make the argument something's going to have to give, or they're not going to get through these three games, particularly San Jose State, who can score points. So good news, no turnovers. Bad news is you just didn't do a lot offensively with the passing game. How much was on Conklin? How much was on the structure? How much was on the wide receivers? Or is it impossible to say? Or do you say the Bulldogs ran it well enough that they really didn't put much emphasis on that because they had the lead most of the way?
Yeah, I'd say the latter. And also, Coach Hintz made a comment on Monday that they kind of felt like Carson Conklin had a good grasp of the playbook and that they could go do a lot of different things against San Diego State, and that didn't necessarily work out. There's maybe some issues where they felt like they needed to shrink the playbook a bit against Boise State. So that was the hope, I imagine, for this team, is that they weren't going to have to pass it much, and it all played out perfectly for them. I think with the bye week and game coming up, they should be able to build on that and expand some things out, and we'll see. But as far as what Conklin was asked to do, you know, he did it. Just doesn't look very sexy on the box score.
Yeah, it was not an artistic success in that regard, Jackson. I would agree with you. Okay. But, you know, we were talking yesterday about the thing that we had addressed at the start of the year, which was they are going to try to play mistake-free football, play solid defense, run the football, shorten the game. We've seen them turn the ball over too many times in some of the losses where it didn't do them any good to try to shorten the game because they were behind. This was at least a blueprint in that regard. So when you look at the overview of this thing, what do they need to get out of the passing game? It doesn't have to be take the top off all the time, but what is serviceable for you? Certainly 35 yards is not serviceable in the long term. But when you look at it, Jackson, if you can move the football and pick up some threes and the occasional six, is that good enough? Or is that shootout looming, maybe at San Jose State, where you're going to have to move the football through the air, otherwise you're just not going to put enough on the scoreboard? What's your feeling?
Yeah, that's for me, when I look at this team, I look at the way these games have played out, and I've been on the field for all of them to kind of get a sense of what's going on. It just feels like against Kansas and Colorado State, they kind of got shell-shocked, and it's not a system or an offense that's built to come back from those types of scores early on. San Diego State, obviously the score wasn't as lopsided, but it felt as if it was lopsided with how much the offense was struggling and how no points came about, how rare it was going to be for them to score a couple of times in there. So I think if they can just kind of weather the early storm, kind of settle in and make the game the grind, that they're in a good spot. But that concerns me a little bit with these teams coming up. Now, Wyoming feels like that's the perfect opponent where they can play exactly the style they want to play and just grit out a win at the end of the day. But San Jose State especially, and to a lesser extent Utah State, these are teams that can make big plays. They can do a lot on offense. And even against a good defense, they can hit you with that home run score early, or maybe two of them. If you're down 14-0, 10-0 against San Jose State or Utah State, that could very well snowball into a loss. Or if you can just establish yourself a little bit early and make it a bit more of a grind, you know, they should be able to beat those teams. So I don't think they're going to fix the offense in short enough of a time to ease all of those issues, but I do think what we've seen is from the way that things went against San Diego State, the game was not lopsided enough, I think, to justify all the passes that were thrown and to go away from the run game as much as they did. They passed it about 3-1, the ratio was, at least the play calling. So I think what they discovered in this Boise State game and the week leading up to it was that they just need to live and die off the run and be more effective at it, which they did both of those things against the Broncos. And I think if there's a case where Fresno State falls behind early again in one of these games, they're just going to keep leaning on that run and play their game until they absolutely have to throw their playbook or the game plan out the window and get desperate.
And that is exactly the point, Jackson. I'm glad you brought it up. It is the symbiotic relationship, and why, you know, I've mentioned to you many, many times that I look at sports like basketball and hockey as being, at least in the conversation, for the ultimate team game, because you are playing offense and defense simultaneously with the same people. And we've talked about it over and over again in basketball. If you and I are playing at the guard positions and, you know, you're playing the point and I want to go sit in the corner to shoot threes, but you want to drive it, something's got to give. The off forward or somebody has to give up part of his game to get back. Otherwise, the floor balance is done. So your offense affects your defense because you are the same group playing. In football, I know, Pat Hill and I have had this conversation, it's the ultimate team game in Pat's eyes because you have 11 guys out there, and if any one of the 11 bleep it up, it messes up the entire play, right? Okay. Well, when you talk about the squads of football, your offense and your defense, we've mentioned that if you're the defense – and you jog off the field after stopping a team, and you jog by your quarterback on his way out, and you say, hey, do me a favor. Can you guys at least get one first down so I can get to the Gatorade bucket before I have to come back out here again? It can get a little dicey, right? So if you are a team that wants to shorten the game and rely on the run, that's great. But if the other team is scoring on your defense, all of a sudden you can't be patient. If the Bulldog defense can do what it did at Boise State, which is to shut the other team down, then, Jackson, you can be incredibly patient, right? You can take third and long and run it, and you can punt it away with the confidence that you're going to come back on the field with the same score. So as long as the defense plays the way it played last week, they can be patient with the running game, right? But if they get in a shootout, then they've got themselves a problem, and we saw it at Colorado State. So going forward the next two games at home, do you expect the Bulldogs to play the style of defense we saw in Boise and the offense to just grind it out and we'll just wait for San Jose State and the whole season will be on the line then? Is that an oversimplification, or is that pretty damn close to what we're going to see?
Well, I certainly expect it against Wyoming, and I think the Cowboys are probably going to try to do much of the same. And I think Fresno State's going to feel confident that they can do it a little bit enough better to get out of that one with the win. I think Utah State is a little bit of that wild card the following week where, again, they have a more explosive offense. And they can. There could be a game where Fresno State shuts them down and runs the ball, gets a simple score lead, and can do what they want with it from there. But you could also have something like Colorado State where a player or two goes the wrong way at the beginning and all of a sudden you're playing catch. So the Aggies are going to be an interesting case, and I think San Jose State probably does some of those exact same things even better than the Aggies do. So the last two games, they're ones where Fresno State can start strong, they can control it, and if it gets away, they just can't abandon what they can do best, and at least for as long as possible. At Colorado State, there wasn't really much of an option. It was so lopsided, they had to really air it out. But I think against San Diego State, it wouldn't have changed much of them just sticking with the run compared to how much they threw it in that one.
Well, I know this. San Diego State was scary defensively. Their offense wasn't exactly world beaters. San Jose State's just the opposite. I mean, you know, why has that hard-hitting defense? Fresno State saw it, and they've been playing well. And the Spartans were just unstoppable in that game in San Jose last week. And so you do look at that and say the Bulldogs may very well be the better team, but it is going to take more than 20 points or so to win the football game. You know, of course, going into Boise, if you would have said that 8 would have been good enough to win, I think we would have all been surprised. That's how it turned out, right? So you can take them through. By the way, if you would have told 99% of the college football world that the final score of that game going in was going to be 30-7, I'd like to know who would have said Fresno State was the 30 if they would have known that was the final score without knowing who won. Although our buddy Stephen Clovis cashed in big with the 17.5, though he was very disappointed that he couldn't get the plus 800 on the money line. And he's also looking for one more win to go over the 6.5 total. Not that Steve is gambling, you understand. This is all just make-believe, Jackson. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Congratulations, Steve. Well done. He spends a lot of time in prim, if you know what I mean, Jackson. All right, well, I told you there's a statue of me building the place because of ill-gotten gains. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Okay. All right. Last question for you football-wise. When you look at this team right now, are you prepared to say that they will indeed definitively be in San Diego? Would you be, if I said you've got to pick a team right now who's going to be in San Diego to play the Aztecs on what is the 5th? I think it's the 5th of December, that Friday. Is it going to be Fresno State, in your opinion? You're going to go on record right now without equivocation?
Yeah, well, after that performance...
Oh, you're just going to laugh at me. It's like we're married. You just, I put it out there and you laughed at me, all right? Again, you laughed at me.
And the pool of teams that are fighting for it, it's hard to go away from the Bulldogs. But I also think, again, winning these next 3 in a row are going to be tough. And maybe they figure it out. Maybe they can put it together. But I think if we've learned anything from this season, from last season, from just about all the other Mountain West teams in the conference right now, except for San Diego State, it is really difficult to string together two, three, four good games right. in this conference. There's a lot of even teams, and the three that are on Fresno State schedule are all teams that are hovering around 500 and they're capable of beating the Bulldogs. So there's probably good odds that there's a stinker in that three-game stretch, and it only takes one to probably knock the Bulldogs off course. But if they play to their optimum the way they did against Boise State, and they can control the pace of the game, win the field position battle, run the ball, play good defense, all those great things, I think they should certainly, on an individual basis, be able to beat those last two games. It's just very difficult in actuality to do it 3 weeks in a row. So, but I think the most favorable games against Wyoming, and then the next one against Utah State, and the San Jose State on the road should be the most difficult. So I think it is going to set up where they can kind of build momentum and get the ball rolling, and hopefully they don't let it go backwards at all.
That was one of the great non-answers in history. Congratulations. Really, really, really nicely done. Now, if you really want to be buried, you tell me to go sleep in the car, okay? that's how it usually ends up. All right. Let's move to basketball very quickly here. I had mentioned to Paul yesterday that during the non-conference year at home, it's going to be tough to draw judgment on this team because I think they'll win all the games. And it's not to denigrate Fresno Pacific. Obviously, they're in a whole different category of basketball. They've had some very good teams there. And they've given the Bulldogs a bad time for a half or two in the past, not last night. With the limited sample size, Jackson, are you of the mindset that says this will be a competitive Bulldog basketball team? I'm not saying they're going to win the conference, but is this a team that on most nights they are going to be a competitive club in the Mountain West?
It sure felt like it last night. As mentioned, a lot of these Fresno Pacific games have been ones that they've been in the kind of a 10 to 15 point win range. They've been a little bit more of a grind. So the Bulldogs get out with a 37 point victory this time around. And it felt like a roster that's capable of playing the way Wahlberg wants to play. It was really nice to see, not even 3 minutes into the game, three players at the scores table. They only had one available for a lot of those last few games last season. So the depth is there. I was really impressed, really, by the end of the bench. I think guys number that I would have had is probably number 10 and 11 on the roster of the players that were suited up. DJ Stickman and Jack Manny both had really good games. It feels like they've got also a really good addition of the type setter. I think him and Deion Collins are really good 1-2 punch. And they've got what look to be capable centers. We'll see when they face more fierce competition how they stack up. But and then there's a lot of athletes on the wings and shooters that they can go to. So it's not the issues that Fresno State dealt with last year, but it's also a wide gap from six wins to being decent in the Mountain West. Right. So still a ways to go till we see exactly how much more improved they are. But I think they've got the players and the athletes to run what Coach Wahlberg wants to try.
Well, they're home twice again this week on Wednesday and on Saturday, so we'll see how it plays out. I know you'll be there for that. 2:00 on Saturday against Long Beach State because of the bye week, and then, of course, they have the game Wednesday coming up against Upstate. But two notes. One, Vance said in the post that, Stickman was supposed to be a red shirt, but maybe not now because of the way he played. But the other thing is, and maybe the bigger takeaway out of this, is Douglas. You don't want him to be the off-injured DJ, but is that what we're seeing again here as a way too early to put that dire kind of spell on things?
Well, that's been the MO so far. He was dealing with multiple different things last year, and this year my understanding is it's not even the season-ending injury from last season. It's another issue right. at this time, so definitely concerned, but they are expecting him to be back within a week or two, and then hopefully it's a long time until anything else comes up.
Well, as we said, too, with this team, a guy like Collins now can be the distributor because he has guys who can put it in the bucket, and also he can look to his own offense. So this Bulldog offense should be better. We'll see if the depth holds up. If it does, it's going to be an interesting year. If injuries, and it's been two now already, if injuries do become the norm again, then it's going to be a tough year. So hopefully it's a portent of good things to come. with the way they shot the basketball, and maybe they'll catch a break a little bit about the injury issues. Jackson, I appreciate it. You and I'll reconvene on Thursday on the board. Where are we at here? 30% a buck. Where are we at?
Yeah, it's currently 30% off a year. Just $1 for your first month to try things out. I've got some behind the scenes recording and observations, photos, videos, all that from Boise. If you want to check that out, also have the post game of Coach Wahlberg for our VIP subscribers as well. So hope people head to blackboard.com and take advantage.
Well, it's well worth it. The sub is not very expensive, and you have some great inside information. As always, my friend, I appreciate it. Have a great 48 hours away from me. Cherish that, and I'll talk to you on Thursday. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, the Factor co-host Jackson Moore at barkboard.com. Take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. He's got the full 3 hours coming up with his fine show Behind the Bench, and I'll get you caught up on the rest of the week, including the National Football League, which rolls in on Thursday, and the Raiders are going to try to get something done against an improving Bronco team. And, of course, the 49ers and the Rams, they tee it up Sunday. The Rams let that one get away at SoFi on Thursday a few weeks ago, and I would imagine they're in no mood to let one get away this Sunday. Ought to be interesting. We'll tell you about the schedules after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Back to 2:50, about 5 minutes to go on the show. Thanks again to Jack for his time. Phil coming up as outstanding show Behind the Bench in just a couple minutes, the full 3 hours today. Want to get you caught up on the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel in his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. We talk about Ed's great business every day, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioeng.net on the web. Again, always benefiting the Lyles College of Engineering on campus and a proud graduate of the Lyles College of Engineering in Fresno State. And a lot of those grads come to work for him at Precision Civil Engineering. And all the fundraising is done under the premise of unifying athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and we thank Ed for his support of the station and his alma mater and for allowing us the time to tell you about the schedule coming up. No play-by-play tonight, one of those rarities. The Lakers, who won last night, like I said, their three best players were out last night, with LeBron out and Luka was out and Reeves was out, and Vincent was out too. They still won in Portland last night, a Portland team that kicked the you-know-what out of the Warriors in the same place and beat the Nuggets there. So it just goes to show you, in the NBA, until we get to April, you never know. But the Lakers are off tonight. The Sharks are off tonight. And for us, our focus becomes football. Of course, the Lakers and Sharks will be back. Lakers tomorrow, the Sharks later in the week. We get started Thursday with the National Football League. It will be the Raiders hosting the Broncos in Vegas. We always have Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night games. Of course, Monday night, Carter and the gang, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park, great times. Be out there by 5 o'clock for the Monday night games. Big screen TV, the great food of me and Ed's, and terrific giveaways. A lot of fun. Stop by and see Carter. Stay hello when you have a chance. Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota, me and Ed's Victory Grill. As far as the specifics, again, the Raiders on Thursday, the 49ers and Rams playing at Levi's on Sunday afternoon, and we'll have the 49er broadcast on 1430 and the Ram broadcast over on 790. And again, 49ers won that game in SoFi a few Thursdays ago, a game that they should not have won, and the Rams know that they need to come in and make sure the 49ers don't have the tiebreaker. Incidentally, Seattle did a lot of work today at the end of the trading deadline to make their team better. And we saw Arizona winning last night behind Brissett in Dallas. So the division is far from decided. I know the Cardinals are back a ways, but the 49ers, the Rams, and the Seahawks are all clustered at the top. It is just win baby right now. 49ers have one of the easiest schedules in the league. That's the benefit you get from having a lousy year as they did last year. But they still have great competition just to make a good seeding run in the playoffs. And we're starting to head now to the important time of the year in November. So we'll see what happens over the weekend. Also want to remind you, in addition to Phil's fine show on 3-6 tonight on 1430 as far as the timeline. Normally 3-6 all weekend or all week long. Sometimes play-by-play moves around. Friday will be the case when we start the Friday Night Lights part of the playoffs now, and that will be Kingsburg at Dinuba, and that means that Phil will have just an hour for you before he and Paul Metters have that broadcast for you. On Thursdays, Phil is at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet. Great conversation of Phil's show. Some good eats as well. Stop by El Paso across from River Park. Nothing like it in all of California at Fashion Furniture. Paul Metters has two fine shows. Central Valley Sports Report on Saturday mornings on 1430 live from First String Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. And then Wednesday, he will have, as usual, the Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net, TDAD, the number one at att.net. First names are fine. Guys, I have your emails, JJ, Robert, Rick. I will try to get to them a little bit later in the week. Jack Ferdy with me, by the way, to talk basketball tomorrow. Also, everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. The live links and podcasts are there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. Again, remind you about GoBulldogs.com. Everything you need for donation, NIL information, all of that is there. Check that out. That is something that's very, very important moving forward. And then the final reminder comes courtesy of our friends at KFC. Again, we want to thank them for all their support of athletics across the valley and remind you that they have the great deal going on right now with the honey barbecue flavor, the great hit of the late 90s, back on everything for a short period of time now. So it's not going to be there forever, but it's on the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. Deals on the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. Also, the chicken sandwich is $3.99 right now. And on Tuesdays like tonight, you still have the $10 8-piece bucket or 8 tenders offer. And on Wednesdays, the country fried steak meal, just $5.99. Stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up a bucket or two and tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the valley. Also, thank yous go out, in addition to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And one more time, they bring you the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. That is how we bring our guests up and how Phil can bring up callers from the general public. So give him a call the full 3 hours to talk Bulldogs, talk 49ers. Still want to talk about the Dodgers go ahead. By the way, Paul in Paso Robles, that was a great email. And you know I'm just kidding, as I know you are kidding, though I will tell you in all sincerity, Paisan, I am tired of your Dodgers winning. They were a lot more lovable between 1988 in 2020 than they have been since 2020. So congratulations, but please let's stop winning. That's all I ask. All right, that having been said, thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson. Phil is coming up. We'll see you guys with Jack Furry tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.